Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
It's my privilege to speak to you tonight. Can we just bow our heads? I'm going to ask God's blessing on this word tonight. Thank you, Father, every person that is gathered here. Everyone so special. Everyone you know by name, you call each by name. And I pray that you would speak to us personally, that Holy Spirit, you'd open up the ears, eyes, the understanding of our heart, to understand the power of what you did for us when you came that first Christmas time. And that we'd be able to apply that in some way that it blesses our life and it really blesses you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Title of my message tonight is called God, Jesus, God's extravagant gift. Jesus is God's extravagant gift. Over 2,000 years ago, heaven came to earth at Christmas time. The creator of the world came in human form, and he came to give his life for us. When God came down in Jesus Christ, he came to bless us, he came to heal us, and he came to save us. The greatest gift ever given in the history of the universe is the gift of the person of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? It is the greatest gift that God could ever give us, but it's not only just the greatest gift, it's the most extravagant gift that God could ever give us. Words that describe extravagant: spending much more than is necessary or wise, wasteful, excessively high, exceeding the bounds of reasons as actions, demands, opinions, or passions, going beyond what is deserved or even justifiable. You know, like, extravagant is a great word. That's a good definition of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God spent much more than what was necessary. He paid the excessively high price. It was beyond what we deserved. And the question is, why would he do that? And here's the reason why. It's because, for God so loved the world, God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. He loved us so much, so he gave us his very best, and that's why he gives us Jesus. Jesus is God's extravagant gift towards us. And the first point I want to say is that God gave us the extravagance of Jesus. There are other words, other adjectives for that word extravagance. Here's some of them: imprudent, spendthrift, prodigal, immoderate, excessive, inordinate, unreasonable, unrestrained, fantastic, wild, absurd, preposterous. These words are pictures of the extravagant dimensions of God's love for you and me. You know, I think that we, as human beings, we love to be extravagant at times, don't we? Don't we? You know, husbands, wives are saying, did you hear that? Huh? You know, did you hear that? You know, I think it's in our nature because we were created in God's image. You know, before Karen and I, we've been married for almost 35 years now. Now, before we got married over 35 years ago, I had to spend, and it was tough for me to do that, but I had to spend a huge sum of $1,200 on this little diamond ring. You know, and coming from a very poor family background where we saved every dollar we got, we stuffed everything we could into the bank, I spent $1,200. You know why I did it? Because she was the love of my life. The love of my life. That's why I did it. And she still is the love of my wife. I better say that right. Immediately respond to that, right? There was a lady in the Bible, her name was Mary. Mary loved Jesus. And Mary had this very expensive alabaster jar of very expensive perfume. And she was a guest with Jesus and along with a whole bunch of other people in the home of a guy named Simon the leper. And Jesus was sitting there, and Mary came and knelt at his feet. And she took that very expensive jar, a very expensive perfume. She broke the top of that jar, and she began to pour the perfume on his feet. And there were other people that saw what she was doing, and they were upset and said, "What a waste, what a waste. That money could have fed a whole bunch of people for a year." And they were criticizing her, and some of the disciples were involved in that too as well. And here's how Jesus responded in Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. And he said to them, "Leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." You know what that story tells us? That God remembers extravagant acts, irrational acts of love. And this is what Jesus did when he came to die on the cross for our sins. John chapter 1, verse 10 says, "He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came into his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed in him, all who believed in and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." That's what Jesus did for us. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, Jesus announced what he was coming to do. He said in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 18, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." In love, he came to bring good news, to lift the load of poverty and misery and darkness that was in the world. He came to do that. He came to heal every withered hand, every broken body. In love, he came to set the oppressed free. In love, he adopted us into his family. And in love, he also gave us the second greatest gift other than himself, the person of Jesus Christ. He gave us his church, a place to belong to, a house of home to be a part of the family of God. There are no lonely people. There should be no lonely people in the family of God. In love, he calls each of us by name, because we're his children, we're his sons and daughters. Amen? He does all of that in love. God loves us beyond what we can even imagine. And because he loved us so much, and he loved us so extravagantly, now we can love extravagantly as well. Amen? Jesus is God's extravagance. Point number two. Just going to give you one more point. Point number two, he came in incredible extravagance, and he came in incredible humility. When Jesus came to earth, it was extravagance and it was a humility at the same time. Listen to the Christmas story, or let's read it too. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 says, "That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village, found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. And after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said about this child. All who heard the shepherds' story were astonished, but Mary kept these things in her heart and thought about them again. See, it says the angel of the Lord appeared among them. The radiance of God surrounded them. It literally lit up the sky, and huge hosts of angels began to sing praises to God. Glory to God in the highest. I don't think they could even count the angels. It's just the armies of God's angels were singing praises. I estimate there could have been 2 or 3 million of, I don't know how many angels there are. We'll find out when we get to heaven. But imagine the pageantry. Imagine the sound. Imagine the glory that was released that night. The angel of the Lord appeared upon him. And wise men showed up later with lavish gifts, guided by angels. This is glorious beyond glorious. Heaven coming to earth, right? This is incredibly extravagant, isn't it? Yet at the same time, this is incredibly humble. See, there were no huge crowds at Jesus' birth. There was just a few shepherds, just a few wise men, just a few barn animals. It was incredibly humble. And it was incredibly extravagant at the same time. You know, not everyone sees the extravagance of Jesus. Not everyone recognizes him for who he is. He is the greatest gift ever given in the history of the universe. There are four things, I want to give them to you quickly, four things about this gift that makes it so incredible. The gift of God, the gift of Jesus. Number one, the gift of Jesus is a free gift. It's a free gift. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to labor for it. You don't have to perform for God. It's free. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a free gift. Second thing about the gift is incredible because it's just received by faith. It's received by faith. Romans 3:22, "We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are, no matter what we are." See, you can't buy it. You can't earn it. You can't do anything. You don't have to act religious in order to receive it. You just have to believe that God sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for your sins, and then just receive that gift into your heart. Amen? So powerful, so easy. Number three, the gift is so incredible because the gift of Jesus is undeserved. Undeserved. Listen to what Romans 3:23 says. "For everyone has sinned, we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." People are made right with God when they simply, I just put that word, simply believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood for you and for me. So this is a scripture in the Bible that says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for the perfect. He didn't die when you were ready for him. He died when we were yet sinners. And when I look at that, when I think about it, I think, wow, this is extravagant. This is extravagant grace. This is extravagant mercy. This is extravagant love. And the last thing I want to give you about the incredible gift of Jesus is that the gift of Jesus is his love through us. Because he loved, now we can love. Isn't that the natural response? The gift of Jesus is his love through us. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 1 says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Can we say that? Love like that. So here's what we need to do tonight. We need to receive his love tonight. We need to open the door to Jesus. We need to receive him into our heart if we haven't done that. And then we can live. We can live in the fullness of what Jesus did for us. The fullness in Jesus Christ. We can relax into being who we are in Christ, and we can become all that God created us to be. See, when he comes into your life, he comes into your heart. And that's the most powerful thing about Christ and the Christian faith. There's nothing like that in the world, where God actually indwells the one who actually believes, and he comes in by his Spirit. And instantly you know there's something different that's inside of you. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of Jesus himself. He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he begins the transformation inside of you. I could not change me, Doug Shimoda. I'm carnal Doug. I'd be mean to my wife. I could be a wife beater. Thank God for Jesus, my wife says, right? I mean, I was a mean guy, you know, I was an angry young guy, but when Jesus came into my heart, he literally transformed me from the inside out. It wasn't about me trying to transform me. I just surrendered him to him, and he started to change my heart. And he makes me into who we are called to be in Christ. He gives you a brand new reason for a living. He gives you a new purpose. He gives you the power to live. And he gives you a final destiny where you know you're going to be with God in a place called heaven. What more could God do for you? What more could he have done for you? He is majesty. The greatest gift God could give us in this life is the gift of Jesus. Amen? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for this evening. The Bible tells us there is salvation and no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. If you're here tonight and you've never invited Jesus into your heart, this Jesus who came at Christmas time, I want to lead you in a very simple prayer. A simple prayer. And I promise you, this will be the most powerful prayer you will ever pray in your life. When you pray this prayer, it will change your life. It'll change your destiny. It'll do that forever. Or maybe you're here tonight, and maybe one time you made that decision, but your heart has drawn away from God, and you feel you're far from Christ. Tonight, you can come back to him. You can give your heart back to him, and he will receive it in an instant. I want to say to every single person, there's not a single one here that you can't come to Christ. There's nothing that you have done in your past that Jesus will hold against you. He will forgive you of every single sin. So if that's you tonight, you want to receive in Christ, or if you feel you're far away from Christ, will you repeat this prayer after me? In fact, I would like to do this. I'd like everybody to say this prayer. I know many, many of us, most of us here, have given our life to Christ. But let's repeat this prayer back to Jesus. Let's say this to him. Are you ready? Repeat after me. Dear Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive me of all my sins. I believe in you, and I invite you to come into my heart, to be Savior and Lord of my life forever. Thank you for my salvation. A new life. Thank you for a family to belong to. And for eternal life in heaven. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.